My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, not Kelly Savant.
Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
I love that.
The great Stephen Young.
That's singing.
It sort of is. It's the only kind I can do. I can tell you that. You don't want to hear me sing Neil Diamond or anything like that. I can tell you that, even though you might sometime soon.
I'd love to hear that. What would you go with?
I'd go with Pass. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And on our guest line right now is not here. No, oh, he's coming. Okay, Jordan Schultz is going to be along here in just a sec. Bleacher Report, formerly ESPN, deep NFL insider. This guy's locked in, tapped in, and is among about 5 or 6 voices I'm really going to right now on the Aiyuk situation. It's Russini, it's Schefter, it's Pelissero, it's Garofalo, and it's Jordan Schultz. And he, too, reported earlier today that there was renewed conversation, renewed engagement, and renewed optimism. However, has that been sort of hampered by, and your face just fell down behind you, by the way, the fathead
just
fell.
Yeah, it's all right. These things are dropping like flies.
I love that you guys put fatheads up and each of you used one piece of tape on all of them. I don't know. 3 pieces of tape? 4? Maybe they'd stay up? Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, just.
Anyway, point is the optimism falling because BA went to Instagram, responded to Brad Graham's post, and sort of called out the 49ers again, saying they're in the media every day. We got 2 options. Pick one and stop all these reports. Well, let's get the latest and talk to Jordan Schultz on the River Islands guest line. Hey, Jordan, thanks for coming on. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. All good.
Yeah. Fantastic to have you, man. And obviously, we are just, I won't even say knee deep. We are waist deep in all things Aiyuk. So let's start with what you know today with regard to these new conversations.
Yeah, you know, obviously this has been one of the more, I would say, fluid, interesting situations between star player and team over the last several years. I can't remember a scenario quite like this. One of the, I think, key factors here is the fact that Aiyuk at this stage in his career, 26 years old, coming off his best year in All-Pro, I think he clearly, and I think the Niners clearly view him as one of the premier receivers in the league. The problem that San Francisco has had is that they've had so many, this is the issue with drafting really good players. They have all these great dudes, a lot of whom they paid, and they know they're going to have to pay Purdy $60 million plus next year. When you have that looming over your head, and the fact that Aiyuk still has one more year left, you have all these moving parts. Aiyuk rightfully should be paid. He will be paid. What's happened over the last several days, and specifically the last 24 hours, is that Aiyuk has been able to find common ground and rekindle, I think, some of the... Hey, bud, stop throwing the ball. Sorry, my son is playing one-on-one baseball.
I love it.
The boy's never going to stop throwing the ball, Jordan. I got two sons. They're never going to stop throwing the ball.
It's out of control. I mean, the kid's been playing for 12 hours. Right? It doesn't stop.
All right, but you were talking about common ground. Yeah, you were talking about common ground.
Yeah, so Aiyuk has been able to find common ground with Kyle Shanahan. I reported it a couple hours ago. He had a recent sit-down meeting with the head coach, others in the organization, and I was told that some open and candid thoughts were expressed, and the two sides subsequently have since restarted negotiations on a long-term deal, and there is optimism for the first time in a long time that Aiyuk could actually remain in San Francisco. Now, again, this is a fluid situation, and I hate to use that word as a de facto word almost, but that's how it's been. But this is a sudden development, and this is really the best news that I think the Niners and their fans could have hoped for, considering that, you know, we've heard he's been traded to the Browns. We've heard he's going to be a Steeler. We heard he wanted to go to Washington. There's been a lot of reports, many of which have been untrue, but I can tell you with 100% confidence that following the sit-down between Brandon and Kyle and a couple other people in the Niners organization, that this is the first time in quite some time that there is legitimate optimism regarding a possible long-term extension with Brandon Aiyuk.
That's exciting, Jordan. And I guess the follow-up question for me would be, how far apart do you think they are? Because we heard that he turned down a reported $32 million-plus from New England. The team had reportedly offered him $26 before. Where does this sit in terms of how far apart on the number they are?
So the number... Okay, so Cleveland was willing to go... I think it was 30 and a half. Pittsburgh, I don't think, would have gone over the TJ Watt number, so around 28. New England was going to go 32. I think it was 32. I got somewhere between 30 and 32. Cleveland was going about 30 and a half. And then you had Pittsburgh, who was still willing to give a massive number, somewhere around 28, but not wanting to eclipse TJ Watt. And what's happened is that the Niners have basically been around 25 to 26. They have to come up into that 28-ish range. That, to me, is the sweet spot. Because realistically, you can now hear my dog. I mean, this is literally a lot going on.
Night
at the show itself.
All good.
But what's happened is that now that they've restarted negotiations, you if you're the Niners, so maybe we're not going to get them at the number we wanted, but we now have to, in good faith, negotiate with the kid and come up to somewhere around that sweet spot, that $28 million. Because he was willing, Brandon, I believe, to be a Steeler. And unfortunately for the Niners, they were unable to find the type of package back because they want a receiver back. If they're going to make a trade, that's been the issue. They want an Amari Cooper back. They want a big-time receiver back. And because Pittsburgh doesn't have that, because Pittsburgh's not trading them George Pickens, for example, or any player, I believe, they've now almost by default said, okay, let's go back and really try to figure this out. But the beautiful thing is, if you're a Niner fan, is that Kyle and Brandon, I think, both realize we have something super special here. A Super Bowl is attainable. They've had and continue to have a very healthy friendship. And Aiyuk's never been a malcontent in the locker room. He's always been well-liked. So you put all of that into – thank you so much, buddy. You put all of that into consideration – I believe the sweet spot is going to be somewhere around $28 million plus, where they've been at between 25 and 26. So San Francisco is going to come up, hopefully, if you're Brandon Aiyuk. And then if you're Brandon Aiyuk, you say, okay, this is probably the best case scenario for me. I want to win a Super Bowl, and hopefully they can get something done. But this is the most optimistic I've been in quite some time that they could find common ground.
NFL insider Jordan Schultz. And Jordan, we know you got to run, but I do want to bring up the fact that about 90 minutes ago, Brandon was on Instagram, commented on a screenshot of the Pelissero report, which is similar to yours, and said Niners are in the media every day. It's two options out there. Pick one and stop dropping reports, which, you know, sounds like there's still some tension there. So you're mentioning optimism. I guess my question is, how much optimism?
Well, I would say, first of all, I think any team is, especially in a case like this, any team, the Niners or any other organization, you know, everyone has their, often they have their media people that they go to. And clearly there has been leaks coming from several sides in this case. And that's completely normal. And it's, you know, part of the business, whatever, like that's going to happen. I don't read too much into that. What I read more into is the fact that regardless of how good the relationship is between Brandon and the team, it still comes down to the money, because it still comes down to the money, because he realizes that this is his chance, his best chance to get generational money and generational wealth, not just for him, but for his family. And so, you know, I empathize for the kid. I also understand where the organization is coming from. To me, it honestly becomes a no-brainer to pay him, because you simply cannot replace him. That's the leverage that Brandon has had. The team said, well, we drafted Pearsall, we love him, we paid Jennings. Look what happened when San Francisco traded DeForest Buckner. They were unable to find a replacement. You know, Kinlaw had his moments late, but that was supposed to be the guy. It didn't quite go that way. Ayuk is saying, you can't replace me. He knows that. I think the team knows that. And he's frustrated. He's been frustrated. And I think as a result of all of that, and the fact that there is equity there coming in from his best season yet, I talked to someone close to him yesterday who said he believes he's going to be better this year. He said to me something really interesting, and I'll end with this. He said that Brandon told him that it's the first time in his career, not just the NFL, first time in his life, that in watching the receivers, he's really seeing things that he could actually apply, because he obviously hasn't practiced. So he's seeing guys, and he's saying, oh, I could do that here. I could run this route here. And he said it's slowing down. He's seeing the game in a way to say that he hasn't seen before. There's a football acumen that's come at 26 years old. So you combine that with his talent, his route running, I really think that he's still ascending as a football player. So that's a long way of saying I'm fairly confident that they're going to get an extension done.
Yeah, well, that's great stuff. Hey, Jordan, we know you have to run, so you can answer this in 10 seconds. I mean, is a trade even close if this doesn't go well?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah. I would say a trade at this point between Cleveland or Pittsburgh is not close. That doesn't mean that it couldn't come back. And if it were between those two, I would put Pittsburgh in front, certainly in front. By a long shot, but I don't believe that a trade is imminent at all.
Okay. Hey, Jordan, thank you so much for squeezing us in. Say hi to your family and your dog.
Yeah, I got the dog, the cat, and we got a kitten. I mean, this is a mess, but I appreciate you guys.
Nice, Jordan.
And I look forward to talking soon.
Yep, absolutely, man. Thank you so much. There he goes. Jordan Schultz in what was maybe the most relatable interview I've ever heard in my entire life.
How many of those do you do with a dog and three kids, you know?
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. I just usually, you know, use like a rude hand wave.
Totally.
As opposed to Jordan, who's too nice, who actually just starts talking to the kid right there in the middle of the conversation.
I got Steve Kerr vibes there. Hey, knock it off. You know, when he was talking to his dog.
Yeah, not right now. Not right now.
Yeah.
No, I said not right now.
Yeah. Hey, buddy, can you stop that?
Boom. Sorry about my dog. Cut it out.
Yeah, maybe it was the kid and the cat. Like, if it was the kid poking the cat, that's where you got to step in. Hey, could you not do that right now?
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. And again, reports, it's just Friday. However, what do you take from that? It's as optimistic as he's been in a long, long time. He feels like Kyle and Brandon moved the ball at least some level. a trade is not close. He thinks an extension is going
to
get done.
A trade is not happening is basically where that goes. And they haven't talked to Pittsburgh in 24 hours, which means that deal, if it's not dead, it's slowly dying. And the New England thing, that bubbled all the way to the surface, and then that didn't happen. The Cleveland thing, that's not happening. And honestly, if Pittsburgh is offering Brandon Ayuk $28 million, which is what Jordan was reporting, Jordan was saying Pittsburgh was right about $28 million. And I did think it was interesting that twice he said Pittsburgh is reluctant or refusing to pay more than TJ Watt.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to pay more than TJ Watt, then what are we even talking about here? Because Brandon can possibly get 28 with the Niners, so he wouldn't leave to go to Pittsburgh for anything less than 30, it would seem. So it feels to me like all the trade possibilities are either dying or have died already.
Well, they've all said Pittsburgh's not sending a player, and the Niners are like, we're not doing this without a player. You've got to give us a receiver. Robbie Chosen is fun. It's a fun name. We don't even know what the name is. He changes his name every 6 months. But that's not it. That's not it. And the Niners are right about that. The Niners cannot go into this season without a seasoned, awesome wide receiver out there in that position. And so if it's not going to be Brandon Ayuk, it does need to be Amari Cooper or Davante Adams or whatever. And Pittsburgh is not playing that game. So if Pittsburgh's not playing that game, there's no trade. And so it sounds like it's not a match, and there shouldn't be a match. This whole thing is not a match. The match is the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk. But here's one thing that I will add, because I do feel like now we're getting to a spot, and again, I think TJ helped with this a lot on our show yesterday. We're getting to a spot where the public is going, all right, I know you've been at 26 Niners, but come on, 28, cough it up. You're not going to let a Super Bowl go away for $2 million. Don't. There's two things here. Don't scoff at $2 million. That is a thing. That's not nothing. TJ called it nothing. It's not nothing. Don't think of it as $2 million. Think of it as a player or two. Those are bodies that you're going to need as others get hurt and another defensive end get hurt just today. So, A, that's a thing, and B, this isn't really necessarily just about average annual value, 26 or 28.
It's never about that.
We have no idea what the guarantee conversation is. We don't know where it is, where it's been, or where it's going. And that might still be as much as $20 million apart.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Those details never get thrown out in the negotiation.
Not ahead of time. So that's why it's like, I get it. I want an extension too. I really do, but we got to don't just let that sort of narrative build to a point where now it's like, come on, cheap Niners, cough it up. There's a lot.
Not cheap. Yeah, they're frugal.
There's a lot going on
there. And $2 million is nothing when you can restructure somebody, and that's about what Juszczyk gave up. So $2 million is not going to cost you a player unless you want it to. You can restructure. You can do a lot of things to recoup the $2 million. The bigger part is what you said second, which is the guaranteed money and the guaranteed at signing money. We don't know what that is, and that could be what's holding it up. That could be the sticking point. But good news from Jordan that he feels as if that conversation at least helped move the ball forward. It certainly is more than what's gone on the last 3 months. And Jordan didn't seem to think that there is any real chance that he gets traded. So if that's the backdrop of all of this, and doesn't feel like Brandon Ayuk is willing to play on the fifth-year option, he hasn't so far shown up, it feels like those two forces together are going to lead this thing to get done. And again, it's better sooner rather than later, but even though they may have made progress in this conversation, feels like some of that was undone on social media with Brandon Ayuk and his impatience.
Well, I also, like, I'm going to stay over here in a bucket of it no longer feels like anything. I don't want to say it feels like it's about to get done, because 3 days ago it felt like there was no chance Brandon was ever going to suit up for the Niners again. And we have spent most of the last five shows talking about Brandon Ayuk, and we will end this week exactly where it started.
With no clue.
No resolution.
No clue.
And still the hope of an extension. But with no resolution, no practice, no uniform, no nothing. No trip to Tennessee, none of these things. are going to happen for Brandon Ayuk. And we just got taken on a complete and total journey over the last 5 days of he's going to be a Steeler, he is going to be a Patriot, he doesn't want to be a Patriot, he might be a Brown, Amari Cooper is going to be a 49er, Devontae Adams is going to be a 49er, and back to Brandon Ayuk as a 49er. That's what we just did Monday through Friday.
Yeah, pretty fun week.
Which is fine. I'm not saying it's like, I mean, it's what's happening. But my point is I'm not going to buy today that it's now Brandon's definitely staying, the same way that 3 days ago I didn't necessarily buy the idea that Brandon was definitely leaving. I'll stay where I've been the whole time. A trade makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely
in
no
August,
sense.
Yeah. It made some sense in April.
Maybe.
Less sense now, more sense in April.
100%. And like, you're the 49ers, you're good, it's August, don't trade your good players who are under contract.
Right.
That's banana land.
Well, you're the 49ers and you take care of your own. And as Joe Shasky said this morning, I'm going to steal the phrase because it's a great one. He's been an A1 since day one. And when you have your A1 players, you take care of all of them, with the exception of DeForest Buckner. And that was a calculated risk. And it backfired because the player that they took at 14 turned out to be a dud. So I don't know if they would have thought about doing that again this year. DeForest Buckner got traded a couple of weeks after the Super Bowl, in February or early March. This is now August. So that mode of doing things is not in play now because the draft doesn't come around for another 8 months. So he's your A1 and you pay him. That's what you do. So enough of all this posturing about meetings and this and that. Give the man his money. If it's 28 and it's two more than you want to pay Parag, just pay the man 28 and move on.
Yeah, but that's not how the business works. And again, I get
how the business works.
I know, but you do, but I have more of this than some other people. Like, I give the 49ers a lot of credit for this roster that they've built. And I don't think that they're in the business of ticking people off that they like. And so,
well, they've done it.
Yeah, but of course they've done it. But at the same time, this is a cutthroat performance business. And I argue that more often than not, I know everyone, but DeForest Buckner. Okay, fine. More often than not, this group knows what they're doing. And I don't think they do things without a reason. So I'm confident it's not as simple as, dude, just cough up your $2 million and let's move on with life. This wouldn't have been going on for the last 5 months if it was that easy. And it's not that easy. I'm glad that they're moving forward. I also, as much as it is a very catchy phrase, maybe even a t-shirt, I'd like to argue Brandon Ayuk has not been an A1 since day one. Brandon Ayuk has been A1 since day 730. Day 730 was after his first 2 years. He had a nice, promising rookie year, followed by showing up with an attitude, getting absolutely benched and doghoused, and then deserves a ton of credit for how he responded to that benching and turned himself into a back-to-back 1,000-yard campaign receiver. But
he had a great rookie year in 11 games.
I'm not going to call it great.
You always talk about how rookies don't make an impact, and he had 60 catches.
Yeah.
He had a great rookie year. Comparative in 11 games.
I thought it was very promising and nice. I would not call it great.
The second year, we'd all want to talk about the doghouse, and he played in every single game. So,
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Boys, I want to get your raw reaction to this. It doesn't have to do with Brandon Ayuk. It is a Giants piece of news. Oh. From Maria Guardado, Giants beat reporter for MLB.com. The Giants have optioned Camilo Doval.
Oh.
I see it here, yeah. Huh. Susan Slusser had it as well.
I congratulate them.
Camilo Doval appears to be getting sent out.
I congratulate him.
Didn't know he had options. Apparently he does.
That is my first. I've got to think about this. I've got to learn more about this. But my very first snap reaction is good for you. Good for you. Because, again, the point that I made yesterday, there is no time for feelings. It's the pennant race. And I will tell you, this is not simply about poor performance. This I know for a fact. Camilo's been rubbing some people the wrong way all year long.
No doubt.
The Giants have officially confirmed it. Landon Roop is being recalled from AAA. Kirk Casale also reinstated off paternity list.
Off paternity, and Jackson Reed's out.
Correct.
Yeah. Who's a closer?
Yeah. Landon Roop?
No.
Duvall out, Roop in, the Rooper?
Maybe Ryan Walker?
Probably. He's been the guy who's been sitting behind Camilo Duvall this whole time, right? As the backup closer.
I guess. I mean, sometimes Taylor Rogers has closed before. That probably scares the hell out of people.
Yeah, Rodriguez won't be the guy. He's been kind of moved up into the early mop-up role.
Yeah, he's a six-inning guy now.
Totally.
He's maybe a future closer.
Perhaps.
Okay, we got it. We got a lot to react to.
I was talking there, and you had to play that sounder. At least it was a good one.
I told him to do that. I said, hit something every time Dibs tries to talk. No more of that crap. All right. We're sponsored by Lucky California. Okay. 888-957-9570. In addition to the Aiyuk stuff that we're not done with, Camilo Duvall has been sent down by the San Francisco Giants. Let's react to that next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
One, two, to left. Conforto all the way back into the corner, and it is gone. And I don't believe it.
Wow.
Tie game 5-5. I don't believe it.
Oh my goodness.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
This is This has kind of become a thing in 2024.
What has?
There's some Bay Area teams that are looking straight in the eyes of some of their players and going, dude, we ain't messing around. Okay?
Such as?
Brandon Ayuk. We're not talking. We said 26, and you're under contract.
Well, they can't send him down.
Nope. And now the San Francisco Giants just looked at Camilo Duvall and said, here is your one-way trip to Sacramento, California.
Bye-bye.
And oh, by the way, the Golden State Warriors looked straight in the eyes of Klay Thompson and said, enjoy Texas.
Yeah, some tough love out there.
Wow.
I wonder if the Giants charter, we will be making an unscheduled stop in Sacramento. Please remain seated unless you're in seat 11B. Boom.
Ding. You are now free to move about the Capitol because you're going to Sacramento.
Boom. If you're seated in 11B, go ahead and grab your bags. Grab your bags. Yes, that's you, Camilo.
Your bong is better than my bing bong.
I'm just trying over here to make light of a very serious situation, Mark. They don't have no closer because somebody will close if they get the lead, but I was in need of a closer.
I think you're going to see, and teams do this sometimes. You've seen teams kind of do the righty-lefty closer thing depending on who's coming up. I think your candidates right now are Ryan Walker and Taylor Rogers. Taylor has done it before. I know he doesn't have the stuff that looks like closer stuff, but refer sometimes. Not everybody's got to be a fireballer. Sometimes it's also a mentality of being able to handle the ninth inning in a close game. But Ryan Walker kind of has that look and kind of has that stuff. I wonder if Eric Miller can get control of the strike zone a little bit more, if he might not be an option at some point soon. But the bottom line is this. It may not look like you want it to look. I know everyone's in love with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball at the closer position. They're not a damn reliever in that bullpen that's scarier than Camilo right now, if you're a Giants fan.
Yeah, and bad scary. Scary bad.
Yeah, I don't care who the hell you put out there. Throw strikes.
Yeah.
Stop walking people.
It's been a struggle.
It's literally the one thing that you can't do. And what this move also says to me, and I'm not here with any specific report, but I've known things and I hear things, but it's been a little bit more general. It is being confirmed all over the damn place. And actually, all the confirmation you need is simply what just happened. This is about more than struggling on the mound. Camilo Dunn absolutely infuriated somebody multiple times. Now, here's what I do know. I do know that the whole, I don't want to go in unless it's a save situation thing, that bothered people. I do know that, I have a hard time going in without the light show. That bothered people. I know that when you take it out on a drink machine in a dugout, that's not something that people blow off in the big leagues. But I also know it's gone a lot deeper than that. I'll give you a tweet that was just sent out by Andy Baggerly. His response to Camilo Duvall getting sent down, he wrote, Camilo Duvall, one all-star appearance, two coaching staffs whose patience he has exhausted.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, Andy knows what he's talking about.
Well, and that's coming off a year where the coaching staff last year saw him as an all-star.
Correct.
39 saves and a whip, walks plus hits over innings pitch of 1.138. So it's easier to tolerate a guy with 39 saves, an all-star appearance, and a really good whip. This year it's 1.614. And only 22 saves, no all-star appearance, and he's given up a hit an inning and almost a walk an inning. He's given up a 0.75 walks per inning and basically almost one hit per inning. So when he comes in to close, go ahead and put two runners on and let's see if we can get out of it.
Well, and what we don't know Camilo. Because of the language barrier, very few of us have ever even heard him talk. I have no idea. The guy might be a complete diva. I will say that I have heard those around the team flirt with that word before. I have heard that.
I've heard that he's very quirky, and there are certain things that he likes, and when they're not in place, he does not react very maturely.
That was a lot of words to say, diva.
Well, diva a lot of times is reserved for wide receivers and the truly elite, wow. But... I mean, if you're just peculiar, but you go out there and you handle your business, you're not necessarily a diva. But one thing I know for sure, when you're a closer who's got, I don't know, 400, 500 career saves, and you don't want to go into a game that's 11-3, you kind of have earned the right to not go into a game that's 11-3. But when you're Camilo Doval and you've got about, 80 career saves? I don't even know if he has 100 career saves yet. The point is, he has not reached that level on a team in an organization where you can go and say, I'm not pitching in an 8-run game.
That's
an earned thing in baseball.
Yeah, and this goes even a little deeper than that. Even if you're amazing, you've earned some things, but nobody gets to do that. You know what I mean? Like, sure, does Tom Brady get to a point where his personal nutritionist gets to be on the plane? Well, at a certain point, Bill Belichick even thought that was done. Barry Bonds gets a Barca lounger. Does everybody else? No. So, sure.
That didn't necessarily play well either.
No, but and those are small things. I think that some of this is bigger. Again, when you're coming off of an all-star year, you are handled a certain way if you're struggling. There are ways to do it, and demoting you within the bullpen would have been what you did if they weren't mad at you for some other reason. Sending you down is as firm as it gets. I mean, my gosh, that was an ego slap that was purposeful.
No doubt. You're right, because if you wanted to just send a subtle message of, you know what, you're struggling, and... we're going to take the closer job away from you, and we're going to see if you can earn it back in the 7th and the 8th inning, Camilo. No, this is pack your things, and when we get to September and we do September call-ups, you might be one of them, because it's not like the old days where you called up everybody and you had 50-man rosters in September. Now you're still somewhat limited, so I wonder, he's got to go down there now and show it. He's got to go down there and prove it and show that he is worthy of a recall to come up here for the stretch run in September.
I don't even know if that's how he's going to react. I don't even know if that's what this is about. If I'm the San Francisco Giants and I am just reading this behavior now, okay? I'm reading what you just did. You said yesterday, if you do something kind of heavy-handed with Camilo, you've lost him for the season. And I agree with you. That's a wrap. There's no bringing him back in a month.
Well, if there's no bringing him back in a month, then Steiny and Goo had this conversation with Kuminga earlier, and I do think there's a great parallel. If, in fact, you have lost him for the year, then you might as well look to trade him in the offseason.
And they might.
Well, you should have maybe traded him at the deadline.
Well, and maybe they tried, and you know, I don't know. Again, baseball and sports, these are very small fraternities. And if you've got a guy that's acting like an absolute crazy person, and again, that's a hypothetical.
Yeah, that might be a stretch.
There are some things that I know, there are some things I don't know, but this is a very, very heavy-handed move, and it suggests to me that the Giants have had it up to here, as my mom used to say.
Right.
Okay?
Well, think about the breaking point.
If that's what you're doing, other teams might know about that, and maybe Camilo Doval is just untouchable right now.
Think about the breaking point yesterday, yeah. Where it's 5-2, it's the end of a road trip, you've had multiple rain delays, and you got Doval in. All you need is 3 outs, and we can get on the plane, we can leave this godforsaken rainstorm, and we can get home, coming off a good road trip, we can all relax and maybe get a half a day off, but instead, we got to play more baseball, because you can't get 3 guys out on a dreadful team, and so now we got to play bonus baseball. That, to me, was kind of a breaking point moment where you serve one up on the outside corner and a guy touches you up for a 3-run oppo taco.
Yeah, but it's not the homer. You're allowed to give up a homer. It was a 3-run homer because you walked 2 people.
That's the thing. And we were here live on the air during the crossover.
Oh, my God.
And your face.
I almost fainted.
And poor Guru's face, who was a fan of the Giants yesterday.
He didn't
we'll
bet
just
the
say that.
Okay.
We'll just say he was a fan of the Giants yesterday.
Glad Willard, still won.
You made eye contact with me, I think, after the first walk, and you said, yank him.
I said, yank
get him. Out.
Yeah,
after the first walk.
Remember, he's got to face three batters, though, and he gets the second out. He gets the second out. When he walked the second one, that was his third batter. And I think that's when I motioned to you, and I said, get him out of the game.
I thought you were talking to me. I thought he wanted me out.
Well, while we're at it. While we're
yank
at
him
it.
Both.
Two birds, one stone.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, it's not the homer, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's baseball. You get touched up. Somebody hits one the opposite way on a high and away fastball. That's baseball. They're not going to get mad at you for that. But if you're out there walking people and all, and by the way, behind the scenes, you're doing things that are make you not a good teammate or not a good clubhouse presence or whatever, yeah, man, there's a shelf life on that. And my gosh, if Gabe, I was exhausted. If Gabe Kapler was having the same issues, and the Giants as a whole organization have been watching this go on for a few years, like, yeah, you take the opportunity to put someone in their place when, by the way, they're not helping you on the field anyway. That's the reason he didn't have anything bad happen last year, is he was performing his butt off. But if you're going to be a problem and you're going to perform poorly, I got an idea. Bye. What are we doing here? And I'd add, it's August and you've worked yourself back in the race.
Oh, so they're back in the race.
Well, if you've got a winning record, I'm going by their definition now. Bob Melvin's definition all along was, you can talk to us when we've got more wins than losses. And I agreed with it. I said that to you 2 weeks ago. When the number on the left is bigger than the number on the right, I'm willing to have a conversation. And for at least 24 hours, it is. The number on the left's bigger than the number on the right. You do not have time in that situation to put a closer out in Major League Baseball where you need to start warming someone else up before he even gets the rubber. Who's got to, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That means you need a bigger roster than everybody else.
And something has happened since the beginning of July. I don't know if he is in a mental funk or if it's his mechanics, but since July 1st, Mark, he's appeared in 12 games, 11 and a third innings. He's given up 12 hits and 7 walks.
Dude.
He's given up 7 earned. His ERA is 5.56 since July 1. And, yeah. He's hit a couple of batters, and the opposing batting average against, .279. That's your closer since July 1. So the attitude, the behavior, whatever's gone on has been only a small part of it. For me, it's the on the field where you've pitched 12 times, and you've been bad.
Boy, you know pro sports. They'll put up with a whole hell of a lot if you're out there performing.
Exactly.
But when you're not, then there's no room for the rest. What's up, Grandy?
This comes from Shayna Rubin, who covers the Giants for the Chronicle. Yep. She says, Bob Melvin has said he wants to keep Ryan Walker in his current role, but Jordan Hicks has closer experience and was warming behind Oval on Wednesday's game. He hit 99 miles per hour in Cincinnati.
I forgot about Jordan Hicks. I completely
forgot. And you forgot about Hicks. Thank you. Just real quick. Had to get that in there.
That's good. I forgot
about... We need a closer and you forgot about Hicks.
I forgot about Jordan Hicks.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Okay. And yeah, he's done it before. He's got the stuff. He's got the mentality. You know, I mean, that was maybe one of the most telegraphed moves of all. You know, now, oh gosh, usual suspects moment. Hold on a second. The Giants signed Jordan Hicks to a 4-year deal worth $44 million, right?
Right.
The Steph Curry contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's closer money.
Well, he wanted a chance to start. The Giants said that they would give him a chance to start. Follow the breadcrumbs. I'm not saying everybody knew how it was going to play out. But if the organization knows, Camilo Duvall's wearing us out. And that's the report. Well, before this year even started, Camilo is wearing us out. We also know that Alex Cobb is injured and Robbie Ray won't be back till the All-Star break. So Jordan Hicks, sure, we'll give you a chance to start, but the likelihood is we're going to put you in the bullpen about halfway through the year. And he's got closer experience, which means you drop a little note to your current All-Star closer. Oh, we just signed someone who is in his 20s and How's closer experience?
Is that like the Niners drafting Ricky Pearsall?
Different. It's a little more layered, but maybe.
Yeah.
We drafted your replacement if you'd like him to be your replacement.
Right? We signed a guy to be a starter, but I don't know if you noticed, he's closed before.
I mean, look, with all the starters that the Giants had slash have, it was reasonable to think right out of the gate, and many of us did, that Jordan Hicks was not going to be a starter for the entire year. Maybe this is exactly, and I'm not going to say the plan, but maybe this is one of the scenarios the Giants somewhat predicted from the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mad genius Farhan Zaidi.
Boy, give that man an extension. Mark Khanna and Jordan Hicks?
Not to mention Tyler Fitzgerald.
Mind blown.
And don't forget about Herrar Encarnacion.
Well, that was the plan all along for sure.
Your boy's been hot lately. Yeah.
Dumped Jorge Soler's double play contract in full to the Atlanta Braves?
Yeah. I'm going to beat you to it because you're normally the guy who loves management, but extend that man.
Pay that man his money.
Jordan Hicks as a reliever. In his career, he's got an ERA of 3.65, 32 saves.
Yeah, not, I mean,
432 as a starter.
That's not like overwhelming. Again, to me, it's more about like, have you done it before? Because it's different. The ninth inning is just different.
One strikeout per inning when he pitches out of the bullpen.
And he hits 99 on the gun.
Yeah.
And by the way, he has looked rejuvenated since going to the bullpen. He looks like the guy we saw at the beginning of the year.
Yep, got himself a little bit of a breather. His last start was July 23rd, and then 5 days later, pitched a couple innings. And then 5 days later, pitched a couple innings. And then 5 days later, pitched an inning.
Perfect.
So he's pitched five innings since July 23rd.
What's he given up in those five?
He gave up two against Colorado. He got the hold. And then he hasn't given up anything since.
Okay.
Two against Cincy, one against Washington. So five innings, two runs allowed, and only two strikeouts. But the velo is coming back up. And so now you're just asking him to go one inning if he is going to be, in fact, your closer starting tonight.
Next year, Camilo Doval, ARB 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then ARB 2.
I get it.
Followed by...
Game show music, please.
Anybody want to take a guess at what happens?
It's gotta be ARB 3.
Number 3.
He is under team control until 2028.
That's why I thought he was a great trade possibility at the deadline because of that 3 years of team control.
To your point also, I said, hey, this small fraternity, people know what's going on, and maybe they do, but although maybe they don't know the full story. This is going to be a shockwave. In other words, and I, as you know, I was in favor of shopping him at the deadline as well. Maybe you send him out before the whole world knows how mad you are at him. Well, now the whole world knows. But, now you just send him down for the rest of the year, and let's see if this message helps him rehabilitate his image within the organization for next year. And he can be among those who are vying now for the closer role starting next year. There actually are some Doval and Aiyuk comparisons because, and here's what I mean by that, I think most organizations, especially in 2024, the age of analytics, optionality, and multi-positional players, I think that you're going to find it very difficult to find an organization that wants to pay huge long-term money to a closer. That's a replaceable position. And those guys are throwing so hard that you see a lot of them burn out fast. There's a lot of closers where you're like, that's the best closer in the game. And then a year later, Edwin Diaz, you can't pitch. You stink. And so, in a way, I think that job should be open for competition every year, no matter what.
Yeah, you probably don't want to sink a lot of money into those guys because they tend to not, last as long as their contract. And so the best thing to do is find somebody like Doval who you can use all the way into their ARB years or through their ARB years and the rest of it, and then at that point move on. I'm just looking at the all-time saves leaders – among active pitchers, and you've got Kenley Jansen and Craig Kimbrell, both 36. Aroldis Chapman is 36. Then you get to Edwin Diaz, who is 30, and he's only got 219 saves.
Yeah.
And he's 46. So most of the rest of the guys, 34, 30. David Robertson's 39. Class A is 26. He would be the best of the sub-30 closers currently in the game.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Renewed optimism with Brandon Ayuk. Camilo Duvall has been sent to Sacramento by the Giants. And also coming up next, along with your phone calls at 888-957-9570, details have emerged on what the Browns were going to send the 49ers if Brandon Ayuk would go there, but Brandon said no. Wait till you hear what was coming to the Niners if he had said yes. We'll have that for you in just a moment on Willard and Dibbs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.